I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Happy Wednesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour solar flare fiesta. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, San Angelo to San Antonio, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. Hey, are on the air.
Are they listening, D.A.? Everything we saying, D.A., everything.
And we come to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans applies simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. How we doing, everybody, on a humpity hump day? So glad you're with us.
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Big show coming up for you this morning. It's National Signing Day, part deux. We've already had our first early National Signing Day. Now, traditionally, this first Wednesday in February has been the day that college football programs signed their incoming high school recruits. However, with early signing day, some of the drama has been sapped. No matter what, we'll have the final pieces of the puzzle for college football recruiting classes happen today. And so thus, Tom Lemming's going to join us, CBS Sports godfather of recruiting. He'll join us coming up here in about 35 minutes from now. So if you're a college football fan, we'll get you the latest on the late signings and the wrap-ups and how the classes look and winners and losers coming up at 40 minutes past the hour. The Cleveland Cavaliers continue to be the most dysfunctional team in the world. We shall dissect coming up in about 15 minutes from now. Next hour, are the Knicks cursed? Poor Zingod, Dunzo. Plus, could French fries from McDonald's grow your hair back?
Puffiness with sodium.
Mraz and Bilotti waiting with bated breath on this story. We'll get to that coming up next hour here on the show. Bilotti is crossing his fingers and praying to the gods. More McDonald's French fries, please. As always, you could hit us up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. You can connect with us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. And a reminder that the show is always watchable. Check out the digital simulcast by going to watchda.com. That's on your phone. That's on your laptop. That's on your tablet. It's mobile friendly. It's on your computer. It's on your smart TV. Watch the show every single day at watchda.com. The big story of the day, obviously, though, is Josh McDaniels. Josh McDaniels, offensive coordinator for the New England Patriots, decides at the 11th hour, nope, I'm not taking the job. Now, I don't care if an assistant coach wants to stay with his team. I don't care if Josh McDaniels feels like the Patriots are a more comfortable scenario for him. I don't care if Robert Kraft gave him more assurances that he would be the heir apparent to Bill Belichick. That's all fine. I could understand all of that for Josh McDaniels wanting to stay and ultimately deciding not to take the job. What I think is the height of scumminess the height of self-indulgence, and what keeps coming around to the Patriots is that Josh McDaniels uprooted a bunch of assistant coaches, had them sign on and leave their jobs, leave their homes, leave their organizations to join him in Indianapolis, and then at the 11th hour said, you know what? My bad. No, that's not okay, man. Is Jim Irsay the easiest guy to work for? No. Is the Colts organization dysfunctional? Yeah. I'm not going to sit here and say Josh McDaniels has to take that job. He has to take that. You're allowed to do whatever you want in terms of choosing your next employer, doing what's right for your family, going where you're comfortable. That's fine. But don't uproot coaches. Josh McDaniels had hired coaches. And ESPN reported that last night when he backed out of the deal, those coaches he had still not told. This is a guy that told coaches, hey, coach with me. Leave that place. Go to Indianapolis. We've got a contract. We're all set. And then has the stones to bail on that job and not tell those guys. They find out through the media. I mean, talk about low class. Talk about low class. And look, I thought Josh McDaniels was the one Patriots assistant that might succeed because he had done it before, seemed to learn important lessons about humility, come back to the nest. But what you learn is, what you realize is, this guy is just another sniveling brat. He still is. Could you imagine if another radio network offered to hire me and I said, okay, Mraz, we're going. Leave CBS. Break the contract, we're going. Move everybody out. Danielle, everybody, move out to Indianapolis. Okay? And I told Pete the Body Bilotti, Bilotti, you're coming with me. Let's go, break the contract. You don't work for CBS anymore. Move everybody out to Indianapolis. And I took guys that I'd worked with in Kansas City or in Boston, and I said, guys, leave it. I've got a staff. We're putting together this big old radio program. It's going to be great. Move all your stuff, uproot yourself. Now go to Indianapolis. And on the day I'm supposed to be introduced, I say, sorry. I don't think so. And all of those guys are left holding their jock strap in Indianapolis, and I'm not coming, and I didn't even have the integrity to call them. That's who this guy is. You're allowed to work wherever you're comfortable. No problem there, Josh McDaniels. But don't lead this organization down the primrose path so that now they're also left in the lurch when all the other assistant coaches have signed elsewhere and all their other candidates had taken jobs elsewhere. So you've left the Colts in a terrible situation. And more importantly, all of those coaches you promised. Josh McDaniels, man, scum. That's a scummy, lowbrow thing to do. If I'm the Colts, I feel like I dodged a bullet. It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
The expectation, Belichick is going to be back in New England with McDaniels as his offensive coordinator. Now, is this going to be a head coach in waiting type deal? You can read between the lines here and say that maybe McDaniels has been given an indication that that will be the case. But whatever the reason, I spoke to Colts sources shortly after this news broke, and I can tell you, they were extremely surprised. They have just found out about this the same way that we have found out about this.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
Mike Garofolo on the NFL Network. Do I think that Josh McDaniels now has assurances that he will take over for Belichick? Yeah. Yep. Now, Bill Belichick, I believe, is going to coach in 2018. He's under contract for 2018, but it seems like this is now clarified to where Belichick has a contract for the upcoming season, 2018, but not beyond. So what I think is, this is Belichick's final ride. I also think that in the wake of losing the Super Bowl, Robert Kraft is getting more desperate to keep this band together, and Tom Brady loves Josh McDaniels. And guess what? Robert Kraft has now bet on Tom Brady by trading away Jimmy Garoppolo, and I think that Bill Belichick would move on his merry way without Josh McDaniels. Belichick has replaced coordinator after coordinator, time and time again. Charlie Weiss begat Josh McDaniels, who begat Bill O'Brien, who begat Josh McDaniels 2.0, and whoever was going to come in, it was going to be fine because Tom Brady was going to be there. I think Bill had no problem waving goodbye to Matt Patricia and Josh McDaniels. He's done it before. In fact, there were the reports that he was selling his assistant coaches to other programs, other teams, saying, you know what? It's time to leave here, guys. The writing is on the wall. The Patriots organization is going to go through some type of major transition over the next 2 years. I believe this underscores Belichick's got one more year left coaching the Patriots. And as for Tom Brady, he'll probably play as long as Giselle allows him to play and as long as he's playing at some type of decent level. And who knows when that will fall off the cliff? Who knows? That's an unknown, because maybe Giselle after this season says no more and he's got to acquiesce. I doubt it. My guess is that Brady and Belichick are back for 2018. Anything beyond that, I think, is a total crapshoot. And I think that the Colts dodged a bullet here, because the type of guy that would do that to those assistant coaches is not the type of guy you want running your organization. And Patriots fans, good luck. Good luck. Because now that's your guy. That's the guy that would willingly lie to all of his assistant coaches, back off on his promise, and then not tell them he did it. Same old Josh McDaniels, man. Same old Josh McDaniels. That is so low class. It's incredible. It is so beyond comprehension. I mean, after he lit Denver on fire, you would think you would go about things a little bit more professionally. The Indianapolis Colts could have signed, could have hired 5 other guys this offseason. They hired all of these, or they interviewed all of these other guys that signed elsewhere. And instead they waited. We're going to introduce Josh McDaniels. And then suddenly he just leaves them at the altar. Scummy move, man. Super scummy move. You're in a bad situation now, Colts, because you don't have a guy. But I really believe if that's what he would do, that tells the true measure of a man. That's not the type of guy you want running your organization. How could you ever trust him? 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Connect with us on Twitter as well. DA on CBS. You know, the Indianapolis Colts, they interviewed Matt Nagy. He took the Chicago Bears job. They interviewed Brian Flores. They interviewed multiple candidates that ended up taking jobs elsewhere across the NFL. That is such a lowbrow move by Josh McDaniels. Because now they're left without anybody that's still available out there that were getting interviews beforehand. When we come back, the most dysfunctional team in the world resides in Cleveland, and it's not the Browns.
Brandon Wheaton's a bum. Colt McCoy's going to be gone. Jason Campbell, we just signed. He's a bum.
DA, CBS Sports Radio.
As conditions on the field change, so can your insurance needs. Talk with a Farmers agent today so you can assess whether your policy is game ready. Find an agent at Farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Dang. So funky.
Oh, okay.
Funky Wednesday.
What you think about that, DA?
I think it's great. I think it's really great.
That's very good, Damon.
Remember, full episodes of The DAW, the funkiest of the funk, available on iTunes. Simply go and search DA and CBS, and you'll find full episodes available there for free. Time to ask the pros, where you, the listener, gets to ask a question, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Check out the link, cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, or tweet your question at CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later on in the show, and we'll answer that question. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. For all of your car care needs, get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Here are the coaching candidates that the Colts spoke to during the process. Matt Nagy, who ended up taking the Bears head coaching job. Mike Vrabel, who took the Titans head coaching job. Steve Wilks, who took the Cardinals head coaching job. They interviewed three different coordinators that ended up taking head coaching jobs elsewhere. But they had their hearts set on Josh McDaniels. Four coaches who would have been members of Josh McDaniels' staff at Indy told ESPN's Diana Russini they were blindsided last night and had yet to hear from him. What scum! What a dirtbag! I mean, come on! Wow! Talk about a lack of integrity. Had Josh McDaniels, before the postseason began, or even during the process, said, you know what, there's a possibility Bill might be retiring soon. It might not be this year, might not be next year, but I'd like to stick it out here. I'd like to stay. I couldn't at all judge that. But this nonsense about how Josh McDaniels, as he got deeper into the process, started feeling like he wanted to do his best for his family and didn't want to uproot them. Where was this concern for your family 3 weeks ago? How about that same concern for all the coaches you just did that to? Josh McDaniels hired coaches, took them away from their family situations, but cared more about his own. Good luck, Patriots. That's your next head coach. Good luck with that guy. So the Cleveland Cavaliers are just a debacle right now. Last night, they got outscored 41-9 in the fourth quarter against a bad Orlando Magic team that's sitting near the bottom of the Eastern Conference. Guys, think about this. The Cavaliers got outscored 41-9 in the fourth quarter by one of the worst teams in basketball. The Cavaliers are a nightmare right now. They have slid to the tied for the third seed of the East, but that third seed is tied to the Wizards for the fourth seed, obviously, and that means they're 7.5 games behind the Celtics, which they will not catch for the one seed. The best they can hope for is getting the two seed, but they're still now 6.5 games behind the Toronto Raptors. And I know there's still plenty of basketball to go, but they're not getting this thing fixed anytime soon.
Listen, I'm here for the long haul. You know, I'm here for this season right now to try to, you know, figure out ways we can still compete. I couldn't give up on my teammates like that. I couldn't do that. I just couldn't do it. We put too much into the game, you know, every single day. We go out and prepare, even though win, lose, or draw. At the end of the day, we all brothers, and we understand that. So, you know, I owe it to my teammates to finish the season out, no matter how it ends up. So, no, I would never waive my no-trade clause.
So that's honorable. I appreciate that from LeBron. All fine and good. But do you realize that the Cavaliers are four games out of the ninth seed in the Eastern Conference, which means they're four games out of not making the playoffs? This is unfixable. And I have seen this bit before where the Cavaliers look clunky and out of sync and out of sorts over the course of the regular season, then figure it out of the postseason because they've been there before and they, quite frankly, have LeBron, and that covers up a lot of things. This is so broken, it's beyond just LeBron fixing it. And part of this is on LeBron. Now, I think the lion's share of the blame here happens at the top of the organization. Because while LeBron definitely can be high maintenance and absolutely can be passive aggressive And no question can be power hungry or influence hungry. When you have LeBron, you have to acquiesce to that. And what the Cavaliers have done is proven they are most dysfunctional at the top, and that's filtering down. The fact that Dan Gilbert reportedly has said to anybody close to him that will listen, so what? Let LeBron leave. Take a hike. We got one. Is so myopic. It is so, so, so myopic. Like one championship was enough, and let LeBron take a hike. Do you know what the odds are that the Cavaliers will ever be anywhere near the NBA Finals ever again? The Cavaliers have been in existence for 50 years. The only time they got to the finals is when they happened to get the number one pick in a draft that happened to have the greatest player of his generation. And then when he left, they turned into garbage again. Garbage. And they had Kyrie Irving. And then he comes back and they make three straight NBA finals. And Dan Gilbert's acting like it's his accomplishment. We got one. Let him walk. Good luck, man. You'll never walk into an NBA Finals ever again with that attitude, ever. You got fortunate because the greatest player of his generation happened to be born in your region of the country. That's your lot in life, Dan Gilbert. Congratulations. This is a billionaire that owns a professional franchise that ends up using Comic Sans Serif to send an angry email, which, by the way, was factually incorrect when he said, we will win a championship before LeBron does. No, you didn't. Nope. You could only do it when LeBron came back. He definitely beat you to that because you were missing the playoffs and he was winning back-to-back championships. Hope you found a different font. Dan Gilbert telling close associates that he wants to be the Jerry Jones of the NBA? Talk about delusion. That's scary. If I'm a Cavs fan, that's terrifying. That's going to be the guy that runs the organization after LeBron James leaves? And that supposedly the previous administration, the previous front office, had roped and circled back to LeBron upon making big decisions, and now they don't do that anymore. Look, I'm not saying LeBron has to be the general manager, but LeBron's got to be in the loop. Because when you don't have LeBron in the loop, he starts feeling alienated, ostracized. He's not going to give it his all, and he's not going to be as motivated to bring everything together. He is going to spite you. And that's what's happening. Isaiah Thomas, I mean, shut your mouth at this point. You've been a Cav for a couple of months. You're part of the problem right now, not part of the solution. Effort on that team, a disgrace. Nobody cares. They give up 41 points by not playing any defense last night against one of the worst teams in basketball. Tyronn Lue has missed games because he's sick. Last night, he's healthy enough to coach in the first half, and then the second half, he has to just leave because he's sick. What? What, did he come down with Mraz's bird flu? What? God. Ty Lue on the sideline last night. I mean, what is going on? Kevin Love leaving in the middle of a game. Nobody knows why. Going home. Like it's a snow day at school. You know what? You can just go home. It's all right. We'll just finish out the game here. You go home. You do you. Man, this thing will not be fixed. The Boston Celtics are going to the NBA Finals. Mark it down right now. It'll be an interesting Eastern Conference playoffs, no doubt about it. But there is no way the Cavaliers are simply going to reset everything when the postseason comes around and get this thing to the NBA Finals. No way. It is too dysfunctional. It's too broken. They still have 2 months. It doesn't matter. This is just the absolute rock bottom. That's the slogan for the 2017-2018 Cavaliers. Meet your 2017-2018 Cavaliers. The basketball version of the bird flu. And starting power forward from Akron, Ohio, LeBron James. And starting at point guard from the University of Washington, Isaiah Thomas. God. Starting at shooting guard from Marquette University, Dwayne Wade.
God.
Starting at center, big man Tristan Thompson. Your Cleveland Cavaliers.
God.
Tom Lemming on today's National Signing Day next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
Do you still feel a couple years later
that kind of I'm not so interested in. You're using low journalism. That's not nice. Come on.
DA on CBS Sports Radio. I'm out. Bye.
41 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Remember, the best up clips available on YouTube every single day. We take the best video clips of the simulcast and put it on YouTube under youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio. So, this was the first year we had early National Signing Day, the early signing day period a couple of weeks ago, and now the first time, the first Wednesday in February, which is normally National Signing Day for college football programs, is kind of a part two. So joining us here to wade our way through a historic day in college football is the godfather of recruiting, recruiting analyst for CBS Sports Network, our friend Tom Lemming. Tom, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing, DA?
I'm doing great. Thanks, as always, for joining us. It's always fun to be joined by you around this time of the year. But this year is different. So what's the biggest reason? How is it different the most today because of the early signing period?
Mainly because the majority of the ballplayers signed in December, about 80% of them are gone. So now it leaves it down to 20%. I've been on the road the last 5.5 weeks. Actually interviewing 2019 players, but running into a lot of the coaches that are recruiting both 2018 2019, and there's sort of a frenetic kind of a effort by these guys because there was such a smaller talent pool that everyone was just kind of jammed in together at different high schools trying to talk other people out of going here, going there, but not nearly as many they could talk out of because, as I said, 80% were gone. So it's a lot different. It's not nearly as big as the day was in December, actually. We didn't know that at the time. I think next year we won't be caught with our pants down because I think if they keep it the same way, I would imagine the majority of the players will once again sign in December.
So for fans, this might be a little deflating because today was kind of a national holiday for college football fans. As you mentioned now, it doesn't feel, it's kind of anticlimactic, but did it help the players? Did it help the coaches? Did it help college football to do it this way?
I think in the long run, yes. I think they're going to probably have to adjust the dates, maybe move it up to September 1st before the season starts. Because when you look at it now, they signed in mid-December, and then immediately there was a dead period for almost a month where the coaches couldn't do anything, couldn't talk, players couldn't come and see them, they couldn't talk. And that means they only really have three weeks to go after this 20% that are still left. And that's why everyone was just bouncing heads off each other because there was so little time to go get ball players, and they started trying to turn guys around. And there have been some. There's a big ball player that turned from Alabama to A&M today because he was not signed. But back in the old days, everyone, the entire group was not signed, so you're a lot of ballplayers slipping from one school to the other. You won't see that quite as much as today, and you won't see the near amount of ballplayers you've seen in the past sign. And what also happens is, and I've seen this in the past too, the ballplayers that are left become better ballplayers because there's more people coming after them. They go from maybe a two-star to a three-star, possibly even a four-star, because everyone else is now trying to just fill out their roster, and they're putting all their effort into a couple of guys. And the internet sites make their money the last couple of weeks of recruiting by building these guys up into better ballplayers than they actually are. So you'll see a lot of ballplayers signing today. There are a few good ones left, but you'll see an awful lot of them that are signing today that are that fans will think are much better than they actually are.
Tom Lemming, CBS Sports Network, recruiting coordinator, analyst, insider, joining us this morning on the show. One of the big stories has been the success of Tom Herman at Texas. A lot of in-state success in the Lone Star State heading into their burnt orange uniforms. Has that been one of the biggest storylines? And how did Tom Herman do it this offseason?
He's done very, very well. But that's to be expected. You know, Mack Brown kind of set the tone with great recruiting, and it was followed up. Texas is really the school. I spent 10 days there about a month ago and driving and hitting the ball players. And still, the fan base is still there for Texas, even much more so than A&M and a lot of the other top programs. A&M has a big fan base, but they're still really the state school. Like Ohio State is the state school. And like Georgia is really the state school when it comes to football. And I think that Texas is, they're now really flexing their muscles and starting to land a good number of the premier ball players. They got a guy, a defensive tackle, Keandre Coburn, today, finally signed with Texas. Everybody figured he might be heading that way, but they're having a great class. I've got them number four in the country right now behind Ohio State, Georgia, Penn State.
Well, there was some sense that because A&M had obviously gone to the SEC and because they have had some success with Johnny Manziel, and because obviously Texas has been down, that the separation between the two schools was going to be lessening, and maybe A&M had even overtaken them in terms of recruiting. But this year suggests otherwise, right? It suggests that Texas is far ahead of A&M in recruiting?
Yes, far ahead this year, but you're right. In the past few years, A&M either was ahead of Texas or was probably a stalemate between the two. And I think this year Texas has proven themselves. Plus, you know, the coaching change, it's tough. A&M did get Trey Brown, the defensive end from the Metroplex, switched from Alabama to A&M today, which rarely happens. You rarely see Nick Saban get a guy that leaves them. Normally, it's he's the one doing the switching. So it is an unusual situation. But A&M, I think, will rebound next year and have one of those outstanding years. But I think if Texas does the job and does things right, they're always going to be in the top 10 because they really are. They've got more influence. They've got more contacts. They're really the state school in Texas.
Kirby Smart is kind of seen now as the challenger, the big challenger at Georgia to Alabama for SEC supremacy. With a run to the national championship game, their storylines this year, how has Georgia benefited from that type of success?
I have them number two to Ohio State, so they're doing fantastic. And Kirby Smart, what I had found out over the years, and I just spent a lot of time in Georgia the last week, he's loved already by the Georgia fans and the ball players. I think for them it's more of a selecting than actually recruiting right now. He put a fence around it. Coach Mark Richt was not able to quite do that. That's why Clemson won a national title, mainly with Georgia ball players, in my opinion. And now Kirby Smart's putting a fence around the state, and it looks like a good number. Just about every top player that he wants in the state is coming to Georgia. So I expect Georgia to be in the national title picture for the unforeseen future, really. I think for as long as he wants and as long as he continues to recruit the way Nick Saban taught him how to recruit, I think Georgia is going to be a powerhouse.
If you want to feel old, one of the best recruits still available right now, Patrick Surtain Jr., if you remember his dad, who was a cornerback in the NFL for years, he's looking at Alabama, Clemson, LSU, and Miami. He's from Plantation, Florida, in South Florida. Any sense of where he's going to choose?
I always figured this. I thought LSU all along, but a lot of people talk about Miami and Alabama. So he's been keeping it very much close to the vest, along with his teammate Tyson Campbell. But I had always thought at the time, for most of the year when I first ran into him earlier in the year, and I, a couple of years ago when I talked to him, LSU was the school. But obviously Miami is looming large, and we'll just have to wait and see for another hour. So he should be announcing pretty soon.
So for winners, you have to have Texas, Georgia, Ohio State. How about losers? Who hasn't done well in your mind?
Mainly the schools that lost head coaches this year, and that's kind of to be expected. I think you'll see some, like Texas A&M is not really a loser. You know, Michigan State kind of suffered because of all the negative press they've been getting the past month. That hurt them. People are saying that Michigan's a loser, but I think Michigan's doing an excellent job recruiting. They're in the top 15, but Harbaugh hasn't been out there as he had been the past couple of years, where really a lot of the focus was on the crazy things that he was doing. But I thought Michigan's putting together a decent year, not a top 10 year, but a top 20 year for sure. And, you know, the Florida Gators are slowly but surely inching their way back up. I thought they were going to have a poor year because of the coaching change, but they've done – Dan Mullen's an excellent recruiter, and even though they won't be top 10, I think they'll be within striking distance of the top 15.
How about UCF? Obviously a Cinderella story, and they have this amazing undefeated season, get a lot of national run. Did we see a bump from them in recruiting?
Well, we did until they lost their head coach. They were going to have a major bump.
Yeah.
And then he actually started going after the ball players that he was recruiting at UCF for Nebraska, some of them. And but normally they're not going to, even when they're undefeated, they're not going to beat Florida, Florida State, or Miami in state. But they did get a major bump with this unbelievable season that they had. However, losing the coaching staff, it really kind of hurt them. So they went from possibly being a top 25 recruiting class to out of the top 25.
Lane Kiffin at FAU, did he turn some heads in recruiting?
You know, he has. Lane's always been an excellent recruiter. Wherever Lane's been, he was always Pete Carroll along with Ed Ogeron, Pete Carroll's two right-hand men. And then he did a good job at Tennessee, did a good job wherever he's been. At Alabama, he was the one that brought in the number one player in the country last year, Najee Harris. So he's done very well. And you know what? He's in a hotbed of football talent. There's no better place in the country than South Florida when it comes to football talent. So he should do well. Again, he's not going to beat the major schools, but if you do a good job evaluating, you're going to always wind up with a good class and a very competitive team as well. You know, FAU, FIU, USF, USF, and UCF, they all should do well because there's such an abundance of talent from Central Florida on down.
The same thing in California. So what's the Chip Kelly effect at UCLA?
So far, minimal. But I think next year, once he gets a full year after, he's going to do well. Right now, I would say UCLA, I would have them listed probably in the top 30, but closer to 30 than closer to 20. I think you'll see them change a little bit as they progress. But UCLA, there was no bump at all when it came to Chip Kelly coming in, and I think because of the lack of time.
Most of this decade, Alabama has won recruiting day, national signing day. Now it sounds like you've got Ohio State number one, Georgia number two. I assume we've got Alabama number three. But is there now more challengers to Alabama's recruiting supremacy in the last couple of years?
Yeah, I have actually Alabama number five. It's Ohio State, Georgia, Penn State, Texas, Alabama, and Notre Dame. That's really the way it's going. A lot of times you don't give credit to schools like Penn State, who has had a phenomenal year, really. I think when you look at it, and they've done very well in the past few years, but Penn State's having a great year. Alabama would have been – I can understand why Nick Saban was upset with the first signing period because, you know, he was battling for a national title. So he's coaching his team. He had to spend some time out on the road. But with 80% of the ball players gone, it doesn't give them that big of a selection to wind up number one this year, and that's the reason why they didn't. I think if everything had been the same, Alabama would have been right in the mix and would have gotten some of the super players turned around and heading to Tuscaloosa. So I think next year he's going to have to adjust to that, and you'll see Alabama back in the top three.
College football fans, following National Signing Day, we'll follow Tom Lemming on Twitter, at Lemming Report, for the latest today on National Signing Day. Obviously, go to CBSSports.com as well for the latest there also throughout the day. Tom, it's always fun to catch up, man. Enjoy the day. I appreciate the time.
Hey, my pleasure. Anytime. Take care.
Okay, Tom Lemming joining us here on the show, godfather of recruiting for CBS Sports. And our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. In 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Notable for Penn State fans. You know, they have not been able to break into the college football final for the playoff. They thought this year was going to be their year. Weren't able to do it. Obviously, the loss to Ohio State stung. But James Franklin has momentum there. And it sounds like recruiting-wise, They're picking up major, major additions to the program. So good time to be a Penn State fan these days. Program ascending, winning big games, and then winning big battles on the recruiting front. Now it's about winning the Big Ten and getting that bid into the college football playoff. When we return, we circle back to the Josh McDaniels story. Does this mean that it's the end for Bill Belichick, that's near, that he's going to retire? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.